questions of Mr. Herman Gordon. Tell me about your home in Europe. What country did you come from?
From Poland.
Could you give me the name of the town? Or
yeah, Smelnik. It's spelled S-C-H-M-I-E-L-N-I-K.
And was this a village or a town?
A town.
About how many people?
About 10,000.
Oh, Jews and non-Jews?
90% Jews.
Mm-hmm. 10,000 people in all, but 90% Jews.
Yes.
So in other words, mostly Jewish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Near what big city that I might know? You know, was it near any big city? Was it in a province?
It's near Kielce, which was a pivotal city.
Near Kielce. Is that K-I-E-L-C-E?
Yeah.
What kind of a house did you live in?
My father had inherited a big house from his father.
Mm-hmm.
And the house had about 10 rooms.
Oh.
However, we only lived in one, and the others were rented out.
You lived in only one room.
Mm-hmm. And also, I can remember, one of the rooms contained a bakery.
Then your father was a baker?
No, although my father was not a baker.
How many brothers did you have? How many?
Three.
All three older?
No, younger. I was the oldest.
All three. And do you have any sisters?
One.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Younger. How long did you live in this town, in this house?
All my life till I immigrated to America.
Which
that was at the age of 16.
Till you were 16, 16 years.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, what was the house made of?
Stone.
Stone house?
Yeah.
Was it in right in the middle of town?
No, it was about halfway between town and the outskirts of town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit rural, not really rural, but... And what kind of work did Jews do in that town?
Mostly are merchants.
Yeah.
And some of them are that cater to the local Polish population
mm-hmm.
around the surrounding countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Or tailors, shoemakers,
mm-hmm.
cap makers, and all other small crafts that
yes.
Would cater to household
yes.
goods.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work did your father do?
My father was a merchant,
what
a lumber merchant.
Where did he buy it? Where did
he sold shingles.
Oh.
He bought it out in the country, about 3 miles away, and brought it into the city, and we sold it.
Did he process it too?
No.
He brought it ready.
Just brought it ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you work before you left?
Yes.
How old were you when you started working?
10.
Mm. As?
As a clerk.
For?
For a aunt of mine who had a large lumber yard.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that your family was well off?
Up until the war, comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mean the First World War?
Yeah, 1914.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At this time, Poland was independent. At the time you were born and grew up, was Poland independent?
No, under Russia. Under Russia.
Poland was under Russia. What were the languages spoken in your home?
Yiddish.
Yeah. And in the streets?
Yiddish.
Any Polish?
Only when you had to communicate
uh-huh.
with your Polish neighbors.
Uh-huh. Okay. What kind of schooling did you have?
I went to cheder up till 10 years of age when the war broke out.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the cheder to me?
yeah. I recall my first cheder was a storeroom,
mm-hmm.
and the rabbi was probably around 60, and I went to that cheder for about 3 years till I was ready to go to a higher grade.
Well, how old were you when you started?
4.
And how many kids do you think were there together with you?
About 30.
All together studying?
Yeah.
Out loud?
Yeah.
started right off with Flemish?
No. First I had the alphabet. That's right. Yeah. The alphabet.
How far had you gone when you were 7 years old?
The best I correct, I was able to read and write.
Hebrew or Yiddish?
Yiddish. And we're familiar with the Hebrew text of the...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's more than a lot of seven-year-olds we know. You were familiar with the Bible text.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then from 7 to 10, you went to a different school?
Different trader. We already started Chumash.
How far did you go? Do you remember?
Till about 8.
No, I mean, how far did you learn?
I was familiar more or less with...
You were 10 years old.
I was 10 years old. That was the last year I went.
Yeah.
I was very well versed in the...
could read the Bible.
Bible, yeah. Not only read, I knew it practically half by heart.
Mm-hmm. And anything else? You didn't learn any Gemara?
Yeah, you
started Gemara.
Yeah.
Okay. What about secular studies?
None. Secular studies... In referring to that, they had a procedure which was government regulated. At that age, you had to go once a week to a Russian school.
Yeah.
And as I recall, I already had bought my book to attend this Russian school when the war broke out. Then everything else, everything went by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had any training in Polish or Russian.
What about arithmetic and things like that?
None.
That you just picked up on your own. You were working as a clerk, you had to make a change?
Yeah.
Since you had so many Jews in your town, you had more than one synagogue there?
Yeah, there were two large public synagogues.
Two large synagogues, and a number of places?
A number of Hasidic groups that are on the synagogues.
Which Hasidim, just for my interest?
Kotzke, they call them, and that's about the pivotal ones that I recall.
But was your family Hasidic?
No.
Did your father attend one of the big synagogues?
Yes.
Yeah. And you, at the age of 10, obviously attended too.
Right.
Your family observant, Orthodox?
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Can you describe the synagogue? Do you have any memories about what
it
was made of? And
I recall one where my father attended at that time was a large synagogue built out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably could accommodate around 500 people.
Yeah.
And I remember the entrance, the shamus, or the sexton, you would call him, mm-hmm. had a little room, and he would take care of all the chores that the shul required to keep clean and etc.
Yeah.
And the other was right on the other side of the street. That was extremely...
What about the women? Can you remember in your father's shul where the women sat?
Yeah, they had a gallery upstairs.
They had different entrance too?
No. There was one entrance, and then the steps would start out in the foyer. Or...
Mm-hmm. And then the other shul, you knew that one also?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Did this shul have a name that your father went to?
They called this one Bet HaMedrash. And the other one was called just shul.
Just the shul.
Yeah. That had differentiated between them. That one was built enormously large with a very high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of frescoes painted on the walls.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it very old, you think?
Yeah, it was built, to my memory, around 1700. And nevertheless, it seems, as far as I can recall, that the better economic class catered to the better medrash, and the shul was more or less for the general public of lower economic groups, such as craftsmen, etc.
What were your relations with the non-Jewish people in your community?
Because we were the majority, it somewhat axiomatic that the relations were friendly.
Mm-hmm. what was the relationship as such? Was it a buying-selling relationship?
A buying-selling relationship. No social contact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This was Poles and Russians.
No,
just
Poles. Poles.
But the government was Russian.
Russian, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were 16, so maybe you already belonged to any organization like the Zionist organization or the Bund or the Socialist or a union or some kind of organization?
Oddly enough, none of these organizations existed until the end of World War First, about 1918.
Mm-hmm. In your town, you mean?
Yeah, in my town, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your father didn't belong to any
No.
What was the relationship of the government, now here of course is the Russian government involved, of your country to the Jews?
Inasmuch as I said before that the Jews were the majority, we suffered no ill effects of anti-Semitism or any discrimination simply because...
In your town?
In my town, yeah. That's what I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because numbers, we overwhelmed them, and although some of them might have been permeated with anti-Semitic feelings, but they never showed it.
Even government officials? Or
In that size of town, government was limited to the town hall,
mm-hmm.
which consisted of a mayor chosen or designated, a Pole. And the only official that I can remember that acted in the Russian capacity, mm-hmm. and knew Polish as well as Russian, was incidentally a neighbor of ours,
mm-hmm.
who had achieved some schooling. And his activities were very much limited in town hall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What did you think at this time as a boy of America?
We had some family here, and actually prior to the war we had, my father at least, communicated
mm-hmm.
with them, and we also had a visitor, a distant uncle. And that was all prior to the war that told us of the great fortunes and also mm-hmm. how lucky my father would be, particularly he had four sons
mm-hmm.
and he could live on the fat of the land with his sons working.
Go to work.
That's right.
So your idea was that was...
Yeah, it was an enormous country, wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All this is going down, so even if I don't, afterwards I go over it at home, I fill in all the places I don't write.
Yeah.
Why did you leave the country in which you were born? First of all, when did you leave?
In June 1920.
When did you arrive in the United States?
In October.
October
1920.
Yeah. When did you arrive in Pittsburgh?
The 5th of October.
Oh, it's the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next day.
Okay. Would you mind telling me how old you are?
You know, by no means. I was born December 21st, 1904.
And you are now?
I'll be 65 in December.
Okay. Well, we have some ladies who are willing to tell us everything
but
their age. Yeah. Why did you leave the country in which you were born?
Well, after the war, it was 4 years of hardship, privation, and most of the time no food at all to eat because of the Germans occupying the town.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequently the Austrians tried to siphon up everything for the for their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to survive, if you had some acquaintance in the country, you went out at night and smuggled in some wheat, and you managed how to mill it manually, and you baked your own bread.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you survived. The conditions were very, very poor.
Were you draft eligible?
No, I was not eligible.
Because you were too young?
I was not
Did the Germans immediately enter? I mean, right at the beginning of the war, the Germans occupied that area?
Yeah, I can recall it wasn't our town. At first came the Austrians.
Yeah.
Yeah, they occupied the town within a week or so of the war.
Now, towards the end of the war, were the Russians fighting there too? I mean, was it going back and forth?
It was a seesaw battle going several times during the years mm-hmm. that they changed, went back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And then what was the outcome?
The outcomes was in the end that the Austrians had again returned,
yeah.
And they had practical possession of the town.
And then when the peace was signed, what happened? This became part of an independent Poland?
Yeah. 1918 the country was created an independent republic. And
and what about the Jews?
In our town, again, the same factor prevailed. We suffered the ill effect because of the overwhelming number of Jews. But as you know, in the country as a whole, other mm-hmm. programs broke out.
Okay, now, why did you come to the United States?
Very simple. An uncle of mine had come to visit his hometown, which I lived in, and he just took me along.
Did you have a definite destination when you left Europe?
Yes, the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where my uncle lived.
Okay. Well, some people just, that's why we're asking. Were you part of a group that traveled together?
Yes, my uncle took along several other relatives of his.
What did you need in those days besides the money for the ship?
Good health. An American visa.
Oh, they already have the visa business.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. How did your uncle get the visas for you?
Well,
because he was an American citizen.
No. Even those days, you had what you would call an agent or a fixer, he was known those days.
Mm-hmm.
He had some contacts with officials, and he took a good fee for obtaining those. I surmise that he also parted with some of the...
He took care of the visa business.
Yeah.
How did you travel? I mean, from your little town named... Melnick.
Yeah.
How did you go?
From Melnick to Kells, we went by what they call ox, which is a wagon, simple horse and wagon.
Horse and wagon, not ox car. Horse and wagon.
In Europe, this was known, when you traveled that way, it was known as ox.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Horse and wagon to Kells,
yeah.
Then?
And then we took the train to Warsaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from Warsaw, we traveled by train through Germany.
Yeah.
To Belgium.
To Belgium.
Yeah.
To
Antwerp.
Oh, that was your port.
Yeah.
And there you took a ship. Do you remember the name of the ship?
No, there we took a little boat to London.
Oh, to London.
Yeah. And from London we took a train to Southampton.
Wow.
And Southampton we took the boat, which I think was the Cunard liner and the Emperor Rata, something like that.
Emperor?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Or something like that.
Yeah. To which port?
To New York.
To New York.
Yeah.
Did anybody meet you in New York?
Yeah. Another uncle of mine.
Yeah. Well, these are father's brothers.
The one that brought me was a brother-in-law, but the one that met me in New York was my father's brother.
Mm-hmm. And he met you in New York?
Yeah.
With the other relatives, too?
Yeah.
And he took you off the boat?
Yeah.
Was it Ellis Island already in those days?
Yes, indeed.
What papers or objects did you bring with you?
My passport, that's all.
When you say passport, what do you mean?
Well, the
issued by the Russian, by the Polish government?
Right, sure.
Okay. Because there was a period early when people didn't need passports. I mean, after the war, I guess, many things happened. Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
No.
What was it in Europe?
My name in Europe was Chaim, C-H-A-I-M.
Yeah.
Wolf, W-O-L-F.
Yeah.
And Gorlicki, spelled G-O-R-L-I-C-K-I.
Uh-huh. And you changed it to Gordon?
Yes.
Okay. It's a matter of shortening. Okay, and your first name you changed to Herman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Simply because the other cousins who had been named after the same grandfather, their name was Herman, so it was axiomatic that I should bear the same name.
I am one of a bunch of Chayesus. We all had a special little nickname to go along with it, to say which was which. Okay. What first impressed you when you came to the United States?
The railroad station.
Where?
The Pennsylvania Railroad Station. In New York. I took the train to come to Pittsburgh.
Yeah? I think they tore it down already.
No,
they
did.
It was very beautiful. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
Because why did it impress you? What was about it?
The hugeness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability of putting trains underneath where you go straight from a building to the top that doesn't represent at all what you would think a communication center, and the technology more or less involved.
Mm-hmm. And what impressed you when you first came to Pittsburgh? I assume you took the train from there. You didn't stay in New York for a long time.
Day.
Yeah, and then you went right by train to Pittsburgh. And when you came to Pittsburgh, what impressed you?
My uncle lived on the north side, and actually that's where I went, to the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out in Ohio Street and saw all the glittering lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they
came at night.
No, I went out, after all, you know.
I was
taken around showing the neighborhood, the glittering lights.
Mm-hmm.
And the park in the middle of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's somewhat impressive.
You mean Schenley Park?
No, that was in the East Park, the north side. That's one between Cedar Avenue and...
Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh? Yes, you do. If you want to tell me, if you can remember, you know, from...
It's very prosaic. Sitting with the family and relating all the incidents.
Now, you were the only one of your immediate family, the only brother.
Yes, yes.
The others were cousins.
The others were cousins from his side.
Mm-hmm.
The others from my aunt's side.
And telling how things were.
Huh? Yes, relating how the rest of the family... fared and the number of their children and their activity.
That kind. They third degreed you.
Yeah.
During your first 5 years in America, was there anything about life here that disappointed you?
No.
Was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No.
After having lived in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would eventually accomplish your goal in coming here?
Well, frankly, when you leave a place of misery like Poland was at that stage of its existence, anything that better and anything is better than there, you have no reason to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And you set no goals. You still think in terms of survival.
Mm-hmm. I understand very well. Where was your first home in this area?
At this uncle's house.
Do you remember the address?
East, definitely. 615 Lockhart Street.
615, spell it.
Lockhart.
L-O-C-K-H-A-R-T. Lockhart Street on the north side.
Yeah.
Can you describe it?
It was a three-story brick building.
And they lived in the whole house?
Or? Yeah.
Oh, then he
because
was
there
doing
were,
all right?
There were... two boys beside me my own age, and a married son lived on the third floor.
Was it a Jewish neighborhood?
No, it was not a Jewish neighborhood.
What did your uncle do?
He had a store on Ohio Street, an hourly store.
Mm-hmm. Was he from the same town with you?
Yeah.
But he had come before. How
he
long?
Had come, I think, at the end of the century.
Uh-huh. So he was established already.
Oh, yeah.
How long did you live here with your uncle?
I lived on the north side about 5 years.
Oh. This was his own home?
Yeah.
Now, what kind of work did you do when you first came to this country?
Straight into the bakery.
Who had a bakery?
Another uncle of mine.
What made you go into that?
At that time, the only place was available to get a job.
It says here, how did you get training for this work?
In the bakery, you get the training. You start out as a helper.
Uh-huh. As an apprentice, kind
That's
of.
That's right.
This is the same work, the same... How much did you earn at the beginning?
$15 a week.
Do you remember your hours?
I definitely remember it. 60 hours.
Can you remember, from what time to what time, that kind of thing?
I worked from 6 till 4.
6 a.m.?
Yeah.
To 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
No, because I remember my uncle was a baker, that sometimes he'd go in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. to start the bread or something. And so, did you work on Saturdays and Jewish holidays?
On Saturdays I was off.
You were off on Saturdays?
Yeah, not because it was Saturday, because that's the business I ran. Because Sunday there was no delivery, they had no reason to bake on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. How long did you remain in this job? In this work you remained for the rest of your life as a baker?
Yeah, but on the job about 3 years.
And then?
I went to another bakery. I got more money.
Now, here's something which I'm really interested in because this is how I got to you. Did you belong to a union?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Well, it was 1922 that I was taken into the union.
Can you tell me the name and everything?
Sure. Baker's Union, Local 44.
Was it then a whole Jewish union?
The local, yeah.
That was a Jewish local?
The Jewish local.
You know, a lot of other kinds of businesses and unions, you don't have a specifically Jewish local. Why is it that in the Baker's Union they had a Jewish local?
Well, it was Jewish simply because they baked Jewish products. And you had to be a
spokesman. They had no kosher,
none. No, not at all.
No?
Just the consistency of the, it was the same type of baked goods that was baked in Europe for Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And Jews still here preferred that type of bread
mm-hmm.
than the commercial type of white sliced bread.
But did you have people like from Hungary and Romania and
yes,
Poland,
yes,
Russia and so
yes,
on?
Yes,
and yet
yes.
They all had the similar tastes in breads
right,
and so on. That's
right.
Interesting because in other
right.
foods you have differences.
Yeah, but somehow they all we all bake the same bread and it seems that they all have acquired the skill in their home country.
Now I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You want to tell me a little bit about the organizing of the Jewish bakers here?
Well, it seems that bakers arrived in Pittsburgh at the beginning of the century.
Yes.
And they consisted of two types of bakers. One type would represent bakers who had spent 5 years in the apprenticeship acquiring
mm-hmm.
the skill.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the other element that were children of bakers who
mm-hmm.
acquired the skill in their own father's bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And those that have worked as apprentices were more spirited towards unionization for the simple fact that when they came here, they already had acquired a certain amount of organizational activity that prevailed in the big towns where they have acquired the skill as bakers. So they were more or less familiar with unionization. And the group represented about an even number of people that obtained their skill in the two different ways. And no one was secure with their job. If a baker came to the city and they couldn't get no job, he would go to the employer and offer to work for less
mm-hmm.
to get the job, and naturally the one that had it would be out. And this sort of came home to them, even to those that came from more or less employer-oriented bakers. That while it's true that their father was also employers, but nevertheless they are employed wage earners, and regardless of their background, they would, in order to survive, they still have to succumb to the unionization. So about 1905, they got together, and oddly enough, it seems at that time at least, Friday was the day off for all the bakers, because the bakeries were all closed on Saturday, and they would gather socially in the saloon, and they would talk and talk and talk. And each one was guarded so that his words don't reach the employer. And by some coincidence, there used to be, as far as Pittsburgh is concerned, an itinerant organizer
mm-hmm.
that would travel from Pittsburgh to Cleveland and Detroit. He was a single man, and he didn't care very much for his own personal accommodations, but he would sacrifice himself, and wherever he came, he was given asked for a few dollars to survive.
New York, though?
No.
Starting out from New York?
No, it didn't start there. He traveled in this circuit, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago.
From which big group? Was it the IWW?
No. He came from the International Union, which was organized in 1886.
International Bakers Union?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, if you're going to write it, it was called the Bakery and Confectionery Workers, International Union of America.
Mm-hmm.
They had sent him out to try to organize the bakers in various localities, and he knew already where to find them and to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So by 1905, a group got together and obtained a charter and formed a union.
Now, this is all bakers or just Jewish bakers you're talking about now?
Let me put it this way. All those that work in the Jewish bakery.
Uh-huh. And so in 1905, they got a charter and they formed a union.
They formed the union.
Yeah. What was your big test case, let's say?
The test case didn't come... That didn't last very long.
Uh-huh.
It lasted for about 2 years. We were unable to obtain recognition for the principal large bakery in the city of Pittsburgh, which was at that time the Kaplan Baking Company. And subsequently collapsed.
I see. So then what happened?
Then what happens is new immigrants arrive with more ability to organize. By the time 1909 came around, they again obtained a charter, which is still the one that we are functioning under now, and managed to call a strike in the Kaplan Baking Company for recognition.
Is that C-A-P-L-A-N?
Right. And after a strike of 6 weeks duration, the Kaplan Baking Company conceded unionization.